prayers this morning. If not, then let us join our hearts together and come seeking the Lord in prayer. And if you have that upon your heart which is too great, that which is not spoken yet, just that hand up and down so we know. Thank you. Let us join our hearts together, Father. You have united us together by one simple act. You let go of your Son. And those who believe in Him are forevermore saved because Jesus Christ is alive and today is the day. Thank you, Father. Oh, how we long to be at home. Oh, how we long to see Him again. But it's not our time yet. And so we must press on. And so we start by asking in prayer, Father, for those that are sick. Those that are struggling against the frailties of this body. Not meant to last forever. But only for a short time, Father. And as we struggle with it, let us remember those who are not here and lift them up in prayer. For those who are out traveling today, for those who are doing something, they're cooking the meal today, Father. And as they bring that family around the table, let them pause, stop, and honor you in prayer. Keep us safely in our journeys, wherever they lead us today, Father. We thank you for blessings. Those we don't see, and those which are open to us. The fight against cancer being won. Thank you, Father. Thank you for those who are on the mend and for healing and for coming along. Thank you for blessing them. Thank you for setting them forth. Thank you for having a family here today that would care enough to remember to offer up that prayer. And Father, be with Betty and Diane as they right this moment are at the emergency room. Bring her peace. And man, do we ever thank you for the blessing of children. It doesn't matter whether we're connected to them by blood or not. If we have been a part of a child's life, of a young adult's life, we are forevermore connected to them. And Father, what a true blessing and treasure it is to be able to raise them up in your name and with your foundation. Amen. And we certainly see it. And we pause now, Father, to honor those who have gone on. There's something that happens on this Sunday when we think about the resurrection that makes us remember those who have gone ahead of us. We miss them. But we have no doubt that they are preparing the way. When we get there, they will be the first to greet us. Oh, what a joy that will be. We thank you, Father, for this little old church back here in the corner. For you allowing your Holy Spirit to fill it up. For you giving us these four walls, for this structure, for our stewardship to bring your name forward. Thank you, Father. We pray for the prayer that is not spoken, be it written down here in our prayer box or by a lifted hand. You're already at work within that life. And we thank you for the countless number of people who take care of us, who dress us, who feed us, who clothe us, who clear roads for us, who protect us, who pull us out of accidents or in times of trouble and peril, rush in to save us. We thank you for those who deem it necessary to want to give their lives for our freedom and our protection. Just like Jesus did. As we band together at this time, in one voice, in one mind, let us pray the way Jesus would have taught us, has taught us, and would lead us if He was here, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Breaking dawn. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. It's funny because I've been listening to some things on the radio and some goings on, and it seems as if, as Easter Sunday is here, people are trying to stay away from this old story. I thought that's what this day was to remember the story. Ain't that what the song says? I love to tell the story. It's wonderfully sweet. And today we're going to remember the story of the breaking dawn and the resurrection as told by John in his gospel. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, you should underline that sometime, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put Him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put Him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," He said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking He was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you've put Him, and I will get Him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward Him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that He had said these things to her. May God bless this passage to our heart on this Easter Sunday as we prepare to see Him, as we prepare for His message. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, set our hearts off to the side right now. Take away the labors. Whatever's going on outside that door, it doesn't matter. Let us be with You at this moment, listening to Your Spirit. Let the words that will be spoken come from You. Let us be lifted up, Father, that we may go from here stronger, more ready, in a world that needs to know You so desperately. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. George Sweeting tells of an incident in the early 1920s when the communist leader at that time, Nikolai Bukharin, was sent from Moscow to Kiev to address an anti-God rally. Now, we're talking about Russia in the 1920s. Oh, boy. There was not... You've got to remember where you're sitting right now. You get up on Sunday morning and you go, man, look at the time. We got to get on to church. We don't want to be the last one sneaking in the back and have the preacher see us. He might say something on the way out. Now, I would never do that. We get up and we say, hey, let's go to church today, or let's not go to church today. But in so many countries in this world, being a Christian is the same as putting a brand on your forehead saying, torture and kill me now. And so 1920s Russia, Nikolai Bukharin was sent from Moscow to Kiev to address an anti-God rally. For an hour, he abused and swore and ridiculed and beat the Christian faith to pieces. It was so bad it seemed as if the whole structure would finally fall apart in ruins. He was so compelling, he was so great, he was so powerful in his speech. When he was done, they began to ask questions. An Orthodox church priest stood up and asked to speak. He was sitting in the front row. He turned and he faced the people and he gave them the Easter greeting. He is risen! Instantly, the whole assembly rose to its feet and the reply came back loud and clear. Say it with me. He is risen indeed. Dawn has broken. If you have watched anything, you know there's a squirrely movie out there called Breaking Dawn, and I thought how funny that would be for a few people if I used that, but the truth is, it was a breaking dawn, and it seemed like just like any other day. For the past 3 days, all we have done is live our lives. Now let's back up a little bit. On Thursday night, the Last Supper, they came and they took Him away. On Friday, they beat Him into a bloody pulp and hung Him on a cross and killed Him. I love the song that was sung. Took His body and gave it up to a tomb. The world continued turning. The days continued on. The moments just continued. People got up and went to work. If you were a farmer, you got up and did what you were supposed to do. I'm not too awful sure, but I think cows still had to be milked 2,000 years ago. Chickens had to be fed. Things had to be done. Work had to take place. And the world kept turning. And finally, after the customary time was over, we see the fulfillment. I heard one pastor today say they ought to rename that section, that first 18 verses, they ought to rename them the Great Doubt, because the disciples that had been with Him turned and ran and hid. They had to be thinking, this man told us everything. This man was so great. He was the Messiah. He was coming to save us. And they killed Him. They nailed Him to a cross. Now what do we do? Even John, the gospel writer, don't mistake yourselves. In those writings where it says, the one whom He loved, John was too modest to name himself out, but that was John. even John, the gospel writer, the guy that wrote the cornerstone of the gospels, ran and hid in fear from the breaking dawn. The world still turned. On the way to church this morning, to the sunrise service, I couldn't help but look around and start noticing exactly who thought of what today. I was telling Ellis back there before we got ready to come out that over near us is a place called Cool Hollow where there's a creek that runs through, and they must stock that creek pretty good because the fishermen love it, and they were on the creek this morning, lights, chairs, cars, fishing. On Easter Sunday morning. Now, I ain't judgmental. I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they were having a prayer meeting down there before they got down to the business of fishing. I have been known to fish a couple times, and I'm pretty sure that wasn't the case, because when I came back, exactly the same cars were still in the same place an hour and a half later, still missing out. And when I picked up Wendy and we went to church, the same vehicles were still there. We're missing out on it. The world just looks at it as another day, not as breaking dawn. And yet it happened. I work in downtown Baltimore. And when I say I work down there, I work in downtown in a plant. I drive into the heart of Baltimore every morning to start out my day. And I love it. I love driving through Baltimore. If you don't think I ain't, you just ask old Suzanne back there how much I like driving it. You get a side conversation with Peggy and Greg. I took them through a tour of downtown Baltimore. They should have wished they had a chain hooked to the back of me. But every morning when I back up into the parking space and get out of the truck, the place I work in is noise. It's a factory. They pump natural gas out of the ground there. And they pump it out to all their system. It is a constant flood of noise. Another morning, I was on the way in there, and I happened to back into my parking space as the sun was breaking and starting to get going. And I swung the door of the truck open, and I heard the birds. I had to stop. Suddenly that noise fell away. I couldn't hear anything more. All I could hear were these birds just having a ball in the truck behind me. Somebody had left a piece of bread or something in the pickup bed, and they were just crazy. And the next thing I know, I look in the bushes and I see blue jays up in the bushes, and the noise gets louder. Not the noise from the plant, but that beautiful noise of them birds. And I'm smiling to myself, and I'm looking as people are jumping out of their truck and they're slamming their door shut and they're going to work like this. I'm going to go to work again. I didn't hit the lottery. And I walked in the office and they said, "What are you smiling about?" And I said, "Didn't you hear that bird singing this morning?" Can you imagine what it was like today? Can you imagine what it must have been like this morning? Some 2,000 years ago. Let's paint a picture. There was no cell phones. I know you find that hard to believe. No computers. No televisions. No electricity. Sadly, there were no tractors. And at a gravesite where the Prince of Peace, where the Messiah, where the King had been laid. Matter of fact, let's have some fun. Get your Bible back open and run backwards into Matthew chapter 28. The beauty of the harmony of the Gospels is where one may have not put something, the other one did. And if you blend them all together, you get the complete story. Matthew chapter 28. Now, I would love to have seen this happen. I'm hoping they've got a playback machine in heaven when I get there, because there's a couple scenes that I want to see and I want to be able to giggle. And this is one of them. Matthew chapter 28. First verse. After the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Verse 2, there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. You can't read that verse without smiling. You can't read that verse without half giggling a little bit. Because you get to read the next part. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. Number 4, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Sissies. If you read the backup verses to it, what happened? Old Caiaphas went to Pilate and said, look, we think they're going to steal his body. You've got to do something to seal it. So Pilate, in his infinite Roman wisdom, said, I'm going to post my best guards down there. Big, strong, brawny Roman men. And you know they were men because they wore skirts. You've seen them on television, right? Any man that can wear a skirt is a man. I'm going to put them down there and I'm going to put my ring.
Brother Paul, it wasn't the Roman soldiers. Pilate said, you have a guard, you see to it. He did that so that in case anything happened, they couldn't blame the Romans.
Well, whoever it was, they were supposed to guard that. And they still wore a skirt.
I think they had a Roman centurion.
And he put a signet ring, bam, right on it. There, now nobody will break that piece of wax's ring. Nobody will do that because I'm Pilate. And an angel comes down and rolls the stone away, sits on it, and the guards fall down dead. Like dead. And here comes Mary to look into the tomb. Jesus is gone. He has left. You miss a moment if you don't blend the harmony of the Gospels together. You miss that moment if you don't come to that realization, brothers and sisters, that that meant nothing to Jesus Christ. He got up and walked out. He was gone. She came in there. He was gone. I always get so emotional when I read John. Back to John chapter 20 again. Follow along back with me. He was gone. She didn't see him. She became scared. She ran. She got the disciples. They ran. They look in the hole in the ground and he is gone. Not only is he gone, but everything is folded up and put away neatly. And I challenge you yet again as I read these verses when Mary is confronted by him not to choke up. I can't do it. I've read this story I don't know how many times. I've read this story out loud. I've read it to myself. And I still get a lump in my throat. And I'm going to paint the picture so you do. Follow along with me one more time. She's talking to in verse 13. The angels have seen her crying. They ask, woman, why are you crying? She is standing at the tomb, crying. They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they put him. Now perhaps while she was looking in the hole, while she was at the tomb, while she was conversing with these two angels, while she was standing there, she heard a noise behind her and she turned around and there was a man. Jesus Christ. He's not here. He's not there. He's standing behind her. Tears rolling down her face. She's dirty from the dust from the trip up there. She has strained herself carrying up the stuff necessary to wrap him again and to make him smell sweet. She's dirty. She's beaten. She's tired. Tears are rolling down her face and she turns around. The Bible says that this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? This is a heartbroken woman. This is the woman that did not let fear drive her away from the foot of the cross. This is a woman who did not let fear drive her away. This is a woman who did not let doubt keep her away. This is a woman who woke up every day at the break of dawn preparing to worship even though he wasn't here. This is a woman who wanted to yet see his body, crying. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away," and it wasn't pretty, she was saying it through sobs, "tell me where you put him and I will get him." You need to stop right there and think about that verse. So enamored, so positive of Jesus was she, that she was willing to take him wherever she was to continue to care for him. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary." Imagine the face broke, the cloud gone. There he stood. There he was. She ran toward him. It says in the Bible, she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus knew exactly what she was going to do. She was going to throw herself at his feet. And he said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not returned to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them." If you don't get a little choked up rereading that verse, then we need to read it every Sunday till you do. Because at that moment, brothers and sisters, victory was done. Death had been broken. There was no more grave. Dawn was breaking. Jesus Christ had walked out of the hole in the ground. He had been to, fought off hell, and stepped forward. And by that simple movement, he gave us a place to turn to, a salvation that will never end, a salvation that is ready and open for us, and we knew it was coming. I was talking this morning as I was putting my notes together and found myself wandering and fell upon the book of Malachi. I say found myself wandering, but I know who was leading. And in the fourth chapter, I want you to hear these words. "Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day is coming and will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them." Verse 2. Now I want you to pay attention to the imagery here. I love this. "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." A little bit further. "And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall." You ever seen that? Oh, I see heads going like that. When you take them little baby calves out and you turn them loose, they think that they're full. And they are full of joy and they run. And he goes on to say, "Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet when I do these things, said the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel." Breaking dawn, Jesus walked out of the grave. Breaking dawn, Jesus came forward and saved us. Breaking dawn, he proved to us that it had no hold. For those of you who cry easily, you better set your Kleenex next by, because I read my annual favorite story. Little Philip was born with Down syndrome and attended a third grade Sunday school class with many other 8-year-old boys and girls. Typical of that age, the children did not readily accept Philip with his differences. According to an article in Leadership Magazine, but because of a creative teacher, they began to care about Philip and accept him as a part of the group, even though not fully. The Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought in the pantyhose containers, legs pantyhose containers, the big eggs. And each receiving one, they were told to go outside and find a symbol of new life and put it in that container. And of course, they ran wild. They ran from the church in wild confusion, but eventually they got herded back into the classroom and placed the containers on the table. Now you can imagine the children all gathered up around it, and the teacher's cracking each one open, and the kids are oohing and ahhing. Oh my, look, here's a beautiful flower. Look, somebody found a butterfly. Look, somebody found new blades of grass. And when one was opened, there was nothing in it. And the children became angry, and they cried out against it. That's stupid. That's not fair. Someone didn't do the assignment. But little Philip spoke up and said, "That's mine." And one kid grabbed hold of him and said, "Philip, you don't ever do anything right. There's nothing there." And Philip said, "I did so do it. I did it right. I did because it's empty, because the tomb was empty." Silence followed. From then on, Philip was a member of the class. Period. He died not long afterward from an infection that most normal children would have shrugged off. And at the funeral, this class of 8-year-olds marched up to the altar, not with flowers, but with their Sunday school teacher, each to lay an empty egg on his coffin. John of Damascus wrote, "The day of resurrection, earth telleth abroad, the Passover of gladness, the power of God. From death to life eternal, from this world to the sky, our Christ has brought us over with hymns of victory. Now let the heavens be joyful, let earth her song begin, let round the world keep triumph, all that there is within. Let all things seen and unseen, let their notes in gladness blend. For Christ the Lord has risen, our joy hath no end." Breaking dawn, he stepped out of the tomb and saved us all. Amen? He is risen. You better do better than that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let us pray. I get so excited, Father. I get so wrapped up. I become so passionate. I get so emotional at this time. I cannot let go of this story. I cannot let go of the fact that you saved us, that through a moment in time, your Son stepped away from the grave and we'll never die. Oh, we might leave this earth for a little while, but we have a place in heaven by our belief in Him who died for us. Thank you. Challenge each and every heart in here, Father, that tomorrow morning, when their day starts, they would listen for the birds at the breaking of dawn and hear that joy is still there. Father, let it lift us, let it take us, let it guide us. Let us be brought forward in the week to come. Easter doesn't stop at the end of the meal today, Father. Easter Sunday needs to be carried on for a while, so that we in the fullness of our hearts may proclaim, "He is risen, He is risen indeed." In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you have a particular need this morning, if something has touched you, if there needs to be prayer within you that needs to be poured out, here's the place to do it. If you need me, I'm standing ready to pray. If you don't, just come forward and pray. And if you don't know yet Christ, I stand ready to introduce you. Sister.
Please stand and turn to page 358.
Christ. Because He lives, Father, because Jesus lives, we have no fear of the future. Oh, make us strong to walk as we go from here. Make us be brought together here again, either in Sunday school, Bible school, and Sunday on the morning in church, or taken over to that blissful shore. Father, we put everything in You because He lives. And so bless us on our walk. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and ever. Amen. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.